Jennifer Lee Carroll is a best-selling author who lives in Tucson, and she's not afraid to do a little research for her books. Her latest novel is Haunt Me Still, and it debuts around the country next week. It's a follow-up to her previous mystery, Interred with Their Bones, and Shakespeare scholar-turned-detective Kate Stanley returns. Its plot concerns the many superstitions and mysteries that revolve around Shakespeare's Macbeth, a play whose very name is forbidden for actors to speak backstage. Even quoting Macbeth is taboo, a topic that Jennifer Lee Carroll, a former theatrical director and Shakespeare scholar, knows a lot about.
Nobody really knows when or why this arose, but in theater circles, it's pretty tightly adhered to. And there are elaborate rituals to sort of rid yourself of the evil if you invoke it accidentally, if you accidentally quote the play beyond what's necessary, or if you refer to any of the play or any of its lead characters by name. There are long traditions of terrible accidents happening during performances, for instance, or actors or performers just dying for no clear reason during performance. Or, for instance, Macbeth and or Macduff stabbing each other, sometimes fatally, during performances. And there are instances of Lady Macbeth's actually falling off the stage during the sleepwalking scene, things like that. And there's, you know, it goes even into the audience. There's a story which is, I think it happened in the 1980s, of a patron at the Met when they were doing Verdi's version of Macbeth, committing suicide by diving off one of the balconies headfirst into the seats.
And so this was a theater goer, not a critic?
Yeah. yeah, probably shouldn't be laughing. But yes, it was a theater goer. So, you know, lots of weird stuff has happened around Macbeth. And there's some sense, I think, in the theater community that it's because something that Shakespeare did with this play or the words in the play evoke evil so strongly that it's as if it conjures up this evil force that no one can really control, and it begins to sort of boil and boil and seep off the stage into reality. So there is some real fear around it.
In preparing to write this book, tell us about some of the things that you had to do research on, including, I would assume, researching witchcraft in Shakespeare's time.
Well, I actually researched witchcraft in Shakespeare's time and witchcraft earlier and modern witchcraft. That was one of the places I started. You know, there are mysteries around the play Macbeth. It was altered between the time that Shakespeare wrote it and the time that it showed up in print in his first folio, which was published posthumously. The thing about the play that was most altered was probably the witches and the witchcraft, which we can tell because there were things that were put into it that showed up in an earlier play. But we don't know what the original one looked like. And that, for me, as a novelist, is sort of the great fertile ground. We know that it's not what Shakespeare wrote. What did he write, and why was it changed? You know, witchcraft was a real supernatural threat that many people were terrified about in Shakespeare's day, including the King of England.
When you're writing a novel like this, where there are elements of real-world magic working themselves into it, do you find it difficult to walk the line and not become too fantastical in your writing?
That is the great question, yeah. And that's the line I was trying to walk. I like letting readers decide when something is magical or not, and whether it has a sort of practical explanation or not. And I think that's how magic, it works in the world, actually. I mean, there are people who would call lots of odd things that happen magic, and there are others who would call it coincidence or things that have not yet been explained by science, or, you know, and I kind of want to walk that line and let readers decide what's what. But keeping in that gray area is one of the great challenges of writing. So we'll see if I succeeded.
Shakespeare, the man, or even the men, are kind of shrouded in mystery. There's a lot of things we don't know about a writer as famous as he. Knowing him as a director and knowing him now as a writer, do you feel like you have a understanding of who he might have been?
You know, he becomes for me, the more I look at him, the more of a mystery he becomes. And that is because his genius is just so unfathomable to me. Someone who can create a character like Juliet, who is almost 14, you know, falling deeply into love for the first time. An amazing portrait of a young woman. But he can also create Lear. He can also create, Lear the Great, aging and even aged king. Mm-hmm. He can create, scurrilous drinkers. He can create whores. He can create...
Shylock.
He can create Shylock. He can create kings. He can create, sort of silly old women. It's just amazing to me what he did. So I would say he does seem to me to have been, in the end, one person. That is, one person ushering all these words into a set of plays, because they read very similarly. There's a consistency of voice. I don't find it beyond the pale of imagination to think that he was a committee in the sense that there were people around him feeding him stories, making things easy for him when they should have been very difficult or even dangerous. And that's true of the theater. The theater is a very collaborative place, much more collaborative than we're accustomed to thinking of writers and writing these days. Although, the more people think about the way a movie is made, that's also a very collaborative effort. Theater works in a very similar way. And so I kind of think, Shakespeare's one guy, but he was writing for a crowd, with a crowd, some of them professional, maybe some of them not professional. He's probably the guy from Stratford, but, the way I think about it, there is a possibility that he could have been somebody else.
He did incorporate historical characters into some of his plays. The inspiration for some of his characters is a mystery. What do you think about Lady Macbeth?
A lot of people assume that she came from the historical Lady Macbeth, who would have been a queen of Scotland in the 11th century. But in fact, there are some pointers that Shakespeare may have been looking much closer to home. That is, a woman who really did live in his period. She's a Scottish woman named Lady Elizabeth Stuart, who was a presence in King James' court in Edinburgh before he went down to London to become King of England. And she was a very ambitious, some said ruthless woman. She was a Highlander by birth and by her first marriage. She had a string of marriages. Apparently very beautiful, very intellectual. In fact, she and her husband actually became two of the most powerful people at King James' court very quickly in the 1580s. They aroused the hatred of just about everybody else around King James. But there were rumors that she consorted with witches, or that she might have been a witch herself. And, there are other things about her life that mimic some things that happen in the play. When she and her husband fell from grace, they went into hiding in the Highlands, and eventually her husband was caught by his enemies and his head was cut off and put on a pike, which is exactly what happens to Macbeth at the end of this play. So who knows? She's sort of exactly the kind of female historical character who most fascinates me.
Well, what's next for you as a writer, and what's next for Kate Stanley? Is that the same thing?
That is the same thing. I think I'll be doing, I'm not entirely sure about this yet, but I think I will be doing the third Kate book. I think her story is a trilogy, partly because there are three Shakespeare mysteries I want to deal with, and she's the right person to deal with them, and partly because I'm trying to give her story itself a kind of arc and shape. And I think three is a good number to work with.
It's a mystical number.
It sure is.
Jennifer Lee Carroll has two local appearances happening this month to celebrate the publication of Haunt Me Still. The first is at the mystery bookstore Clues Unlimited on Thursday evening, April 15th. The second is at Antigone Books on Friday, April 30th. We have links with this information on the Arizona Spotlight page at azpm.org.